I want you to just do what the Bible says. When you give, say something. And it's generally a reminder that you didn't do anything to deserve what God's done for you, but He brought us out of darkness and into His light. Children of Israel were to say something like, we were a lost people in bondage in Egypt, but you brought us out of bondage. And how many of you know that God has brought you out of bondage? Amen? Amen. And so say this with me. Say, Father, we thank You today that we who were not a people, Gentiles after the flesh, You have now grafted in to the family of God, into the commonwealth of Israel. And today as we give, we give in faith. For we trust You that You are our provider, that You supply all of our need. And we believe Your word. Your word says to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. When we give, it's never with a thought that it's lost. It's always with the thought that it's invested. We invest in the kingdom of God, and your kingdom is forever. It will never fail. We thank You today for Your grace that abounds in us, so that we always have all sufficiency in all things, and we abound to every good work in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. We'll dismiss the children now for children's church. And I'll invite all of you to turn to John chapter 10. If anybody needs a Bible, if you'll hold your hand up, we'll see to it a Bible is delivered to your door. We need a Bible right here. Right there. That's good. Thank you, Shannon. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anybody else need a Bible? Praise the Lord. We've been talking about prayer and the problems that have surrounded prayer for years because of religion. Because religious people have made prayer boring. In fact, religious people have made church boring. Religious people have tended to substitute their traditions for the Word of God. Have you noticed that? Men's traditions seem to always come in instead of what the Word says. And so we've been talking about prayer and trying to bring us to a place where we understand that it's delightful. It's just a delight to be able to talk to God. What a privilege that we as mere human beings that God has made can actually come into His presence and speak to Him. And He hears us and He answers our prayers. And lately we've been talking about the fact that He speaks to us. Now, religious people will tell you that God, of course, speaks to us, and they're right that He speaks to us through His Word. But they will tell you that's all you can hope to hear, is what He says in His Word. Now, I will tell you this, that He'll never tell you anything that's different than His Word, but He will speak to you through your spirit. He doesn't speak through your human ears, but He speaks through your inner ears, the spirit man ears. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. We've been talking about hearing. We said, according to John 10 and verse 27, the Scripture says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Would you read that out loud with me? "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Jesus said these words, "My sheep." He said, "I'm the good shepherd." And He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." Verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." As we've been speaking about prayer, and getting to this hearing part of prayer, that prayer isn't just speaking. Most people have lists and they recite their list. Some people have prayer chains, or they have beads that they recite prayers. Some people have books, prayer books, and they recite prayers. And they think that prayer is simply them talking to God. But prayer is intimacy with God. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is participation in the things of God. And so we want to learn how to be good hearers of God as well as speakers to God, don't we? It's important that we get this down in our spirits. God speaks today. Do you believe that? Well, how else could we hear His voice? He says, "My sheep hear My voice." So God has to speak. "My sheep hear My voice." God speaks, and He wants all believers to hear Him. And if He wants all believers to hear Him, could I see the hands of the believers in this place today? Those of you that aren't believers, just keep your hands down. But those that are believers, there you go. Now, if you're a believer, God wants you to hear. God wants to be able to speak to you. He wants you to hear. How many of you would say, "I hear Him all the time"? How many of you would like to hear better? That's me. I want to hear God better. I want to hear Him more. I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more. Amen? So how do we develop a hearing ear? How could we develop a hearing ear? Well, we looked at the plan, if you will. And of course, every plan that's been brought out of Scripture is probably incomplete because there's more to it. But these are some good guidelines for you to follow. In Luke 8:18, the Scripture says, "Be sure to pay attention to what you hear." In other words, there seems to be some indication that God talks sometimes and we don't listen. Or if we hear Him, we don't pay attention and hearken to and follow through with what He says. So the Bible says in Luke 8:18, and this again is Jesus speaking, He says, "Be sure to pay attention to what you hear." This is out of the New Living Translation. "To those who are open to My teaching." And what is teaching, by the way? Somebody give me a Hebrew word for teaching.
Torah.
Torah. Instruction, teaching. That's not the only Hebrew word, but you're right. Torah. It's the one I was looking for. The Torah of God. "Be sure to pay attention. To those that are open to My teaching, My Torah, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening..." Listen to me now. This is important. If you're not listening, you may be among that number that are not listening to God too. "To those that are not listening, to those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken away from them." That's scary. And I think that's what happens to people a lot of times. I think the more they get into forms and traditions and just doing things the way we've always done it, never listening to God, never allowing God to adjust them, never allowing God to chasten them, never allowing God to instruct them and train them in the way they should go, pretty soon, even what they thought they had, they no longer have. There were a group called Sadducees. Have you heard of the Sadducees? The Sadducees in Scripture. The Sadducees were people that came out of the children of Israel, out of the tribes of Israel. They were people that had the Torah with all of the people of Israel, and yet these people, through the years, through their tradition and through their sages and through their teaching, these people had decided that there were no angels, that there was no spirits, and that there was no resurrection. Some English preacher years ago said that's why they were sad, you see. And that is certainly why you would be sad, right? But they were Sadducees, and yet they had the same teaching and instruction. In fact, these people had originated at Sinai. So had the Pharisees. And let me say about Pharisees, for those of you that have heard nothing but bad about Pharisees were guardians of the truth. And although there were some Pharisees among the persecutors of Yeshua, there were also some Pharisees that came to Him by night. In fact, one of the Pharisees was the first one to hear about being born again, that I know of, first one in the Scripture. Jesus said you have to be born again. But you see, they were having the word spoken, but some heard and some didn't hear. Some heard, but some didn't hear. And I believe that the number one thing that we need to come to is choosing to hear. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose today. Will you take life or will you take death? Will you take light or will you take darkness? It's a choice. Choosing to hear. Hearing is a choice. I need to choose to do it. Number two, I need to give place to the voice of Yahweh. Now that doesn't mean that I need to hark it. It means I need to give a place where I can listen for Him. How many of you know that most people nowadays don't allow any time for quiet? And I'm bad about it myself. There's usually something going around me. How about you guys? You guys, you want to listen to tapes, you want to listen to CDs, you want to listen to this, you want to have a television on? We got something going all the time. A lot of voices. A lot of things good. It's not whether they're good or bad. It's just that we crowd out the one voice we need to hear. You need to give place. You need to give time. You need to allow Him to speak to you by His Word. See, we're not getting away from the Word. We believe the Word is the key. And by the Spirit of God, listening for His Spirit to speak. Finally, we said we need to, not finally, but thirdly, we need to choose to activate our spiritual ears. And I believe that's done in spiritual ways. Through the reading of the Word, through prayer in the Spirit, through interpreting back to ourselves. That is an activation of our hearing ears. And fourth, and this is finally in this particular regard, and by the way, don't take this finally to mean that this is the last point of the sermon, but this is the last point of the review. This is the last point of our review. Choose to obey. We must choose to obey what we hear. And that starts with obeying what this says. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never hear the voice of the Spirit clearly unless you choose to obey the Word of God. And if you're one of these people that tells me, well, this part of the Bible was for the Jews, and this part was for the prophets, and this part was only for the apostles, and you leave me with nothing but a couple of leather, that's a lot of people want to leave you the Word of God nowadays. I don't want that, do you? I believe it from, and by the way, we talked about Torah. Torah is from Genesis to Revelation. One preacher said it's from Genesis to maps. You know where maps are at the back of the Bible, right? Genesis to maps. It's the whole Bible. It's all of the inspired words of God that we believe. We believe. So we need to make choices. But how many know that there are hindrances to hearing? How many of you have hindrances to hearing? And I'm not just talking about physical hindrances. But how many of you know what a hindrance is? Everybody know what a hindrance is? Who wants to help me today? Justin, would you help me? You mind standing up and being seen for a second?
Sure.
Oh, I knew you'd do it. You're a good man. See, I knew that he could do this. And see, I have to pick somebody like him because I'm pretty tough. You understand? I'm buff, ready to go. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to just walk up here to the pulpit, if you would, please. Okay. Just walk up. Just go right on up there to the pulpit. Just get on up there to the pulpit. Go on, get on up there.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Now, did you see what took place there? I was hindering him, wasn't I? Now, he was also persistent because I told him to do it. And he just kept going. What I want you to see about hindrances is, and this is where most people nowadays fall flat on their faces, they get a hindrance and they'll change direction. People go detouring. Every hindrance causes them to turn. They'll go off, and pretty soon they look like a bee flying around from flower to flower, right? You can sit down, I'm sorry. But I do appreciate you. Boy, I tell you, you're a good preacher. You demonstrate the Word of God just as good as anybody. A hindrance is something that gets in your way to keep you from going where you're going, but every hindrance can be overcome. You believe that? Not necessarily by you alone, but the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Messiah is with you. His anointing will help you to get by. In this particular case, if Justin really wanted to do it, Terry wasn't going to hold him back. You understand that? He knows how to get by Terry. He's probably 2 or 3 years my junior. I turned 65 yesterday, so you know I can tell you about being tough, right? Yeah, I know. You're still my elder. I still have to stand when you come into the room. And I'm glad to do it, too. Did you know the Bible says that? How many of you knew that that's part of the teaching and instruction of God? He says, you shall stand when a man with gray hair comes into the room. Boy. By the way, those of you that don't know Art and Betty have been with us and around us a long time. They used to live in Kremling, and they came every Sunday practically to church over here. And one of these times, some time ago, how many years ago would it have been? We got to talk and we said there ought to be something going on in Kremling. Yeah. And we started to study over there on Thursday night. We had Wednesday night study here and Thursday night study in Kremling, and there was quite a group coming over in Kremling for a while there. We had quite a group. And Art and Betty were the one, actually started in their home. And then we moved it out into some other buildings so that we had more room for people. But praise God. They've been faithful to the Word of God. Then they just up and deserted us a while back and went over to Loveland. But we're glad to see them back around the area. And we hope you'll stay just as long as you want to stay here, that you'll be around. Because we always enjoy having Art and Betty with us. And they are a blessing. You get to talking to them and they run deep in the Word of God. So we're talking about hindrances. Hindrances to hearing. We're talking about hindrances that can be overcome. And who would like to guess what the first hindrance to hearing is? And if you don't, you know, if you don't get mine, that's all right. But who just thinks you know what the first hindrance to hearing is? What is it? Not listening. And really, if you get a little deeper, you're absolutely right. It's not listening, but there's a reason people don't listen. When we're talking, yeah.
Oh, like hardness of heart. From sin or bitterness or...
That's definitely one of the reasons. Yeah, that's definitely one of the big obstacles. But you know what I decided when we're talking about hearing from God? The number one obstacle is people just plain don't believe that people hear from God the way I'm talking about. People are just in unbelief in general. Now, you're all exempted here this morning because I know you're believers and not doubters. You believe that you can hear from God. You've read the Scripture. The Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. Faith comes by hearing. So what do you want to tell yourself? You want to tell yourself what Jesus says about you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice. I am your sheep. Therefore, I hear your voice. Now, Lord, what I am experiencing is not as clear as I'd like it to be. Do I hear you? Yes, I hear you. We've told the story how Henrietta the other day was standing in our kitchen and she looked at me and she said, I think you need to go out and move our Buick Enclave. You need to move it. And I said, why? I just think you need to move it over in the shelter of the house. And I said, well, wait a second. I'm not the brightest star, but I can catch on to a few things. And I said, is this God speaking or you? And she said, I believe the Lord told me you need to move the car. So I went out and moved the car. We got in our other car and drove to town, and an hour and a half later came back, and there was a 70-foot tree laying right down the path of where our car had been. Now, how many of you believe that that's not just coincidental? See, a lot of people say, well, it was just a coincidence. No, She heard from the Spirit of God that we needed to move the car. And I could give you many, many, many instances where this has happened in our lives, that we've had this happen. But even at that, I want you to know that it still is somewhat sporadic.
Sure.
It doesn't happen as much as I believe it should. And one of the reasons is that if you get away from teaching like this for a while, pretty soon you just start kind of going through life, you know. I'm saved, that's all that matters. No, it isn't all that matters. You said something that's interesting today, and it reminded me of an old saying that said, God loves me so much that He accepts me just the way I am. And God loves me so much more that He won't leave me that way. Isn't that right? He won't leave me the way I am because He wants me to grow in grace. He wants me to grow into deeper relationship with Him. And so when we hear from God, it's because we believe we can. We believe that it's something that is supposed to happen. My sheep hear my voice. Well, it's a fact that this is His voice speaking to us. But there are other times when I want you to know that there's just not a verse that'll cover what needs to be done when you're going to move a tree. Right? You're going to move a car to keep it getting hit from a tree. There's not a verse there that I know. Now, J.R. Polhemus, who was the former pastor here, was shopping for a car. Hi there, how are you? Haven't seen you in a long time. It's good to see you. JR was hunting for a car back in New Jersey one time. He was felt like he had to get him a new car, and he was praying about it. He believed he could hear from God, and he started praying. And the Lord gave him a scripture. And the scripture was this scripture: you shall go to the nearby town, and there you will find a colt tied to a tree. And J.R. drove over to a nearby town, and he went to a car lot and found a Dodge Colt. It wasn't tied to a tree, but he drove that car out here, and he drove it for many years. And he'd tell that story a lot, how the Lord used the Word to guide him directly and speak to him. And so I believe that this is something that God wants. God wants you to hear from Him. But there are hindrances. And unbelief is one of the worst ones. Did you know the Proverbs 3:5 says this? Trust. Say trust.
Trust.
What does trust mean?
Put your faith
out. What else? Trust.
Believe.
Let me show you. I'm going to use Justin again. You can stay seated this time. I trust in Justin that he can stand this. He can hold me up. Didn't hurt you, did I?
No.
No. See? Yeah, and the chair also. I trust that chair. Trust actually has an implication of leaning on, of putting your weight on. And here's the great thing about it with God. You don't have to see anything to trust Him. Right? You can see nothing but space below you and you can believe. Right? Amen. You can do that. So that's trust. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart. Proverbs 3:5. Lean not unto your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust. Lean on the Lord with all your heart. That it's not the same word. That's the word betach. Betach in the Hebrew. Betach. Which means to trust. Betach. We also call it believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord. Trust. With all your heart. And don't trust or rely on your own understanding. That's hard. Did you know that's one of the big problems we have? We're so mind-oriented. What I know. One fellow told me one time, he happened to be an elder in a church that I was in, so this is kind of funny, but this man told me, he says, I don't believe anything that I can't see and understand. Any of you like that? I have to understand it. I have to know how it works. I said, do you have a television set? Yeah. I said, do you turn it on? Yeah. Does it work? Yeah. How? Now maybe somebody can tell you, but he couldn't. And most people don't know how that television works. I mean, can you imagine an electrode just running back and forth like that and making a picture? Pretty amazing stuff. No, don't tell me that you don't believe anything you can't see or you can't understand. We're not that way at all. No, the Bible says we're supposed to trust in God, who is too big to understand, with all of our heart, and not lean to this pea brain up here. Now that's mine, that's not yours. I'm talking about me. This little small capacity for understanding. We need to trust and rely on His understanding, right? That's what we need to do. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. What do you do when you acknowledge someone? Anybody raise your left hand? The other left. Okay? That's acknowledging me. Why did you do it? Because I said everybody do it. That's acknowledgement. Now you don't have to acknowledge, but that's what the Scripture says and that's where we get into problems with God. Sometimes we're slow to acknowledge. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. What is that? What would all my ways be? What would all your ways be? All the ways that you could acknowledge God. What would that be? Well, my uncle told me one time, I don't want to bother God with little things and my little problems. You know, He's got enough to do taking care of all the world without having to take care of my little problems. So I don't bother Him about my stuff. What is that? What is that philosophy? That's a flesh-minded philosophy. That's the mind of the flesh. That's putting God into a place where God's sitting up there like in, what was that movie called, something Almighty? Bruce Almighty, and He had to answer all these things and He had to type out all the answers and everything, and God's just so busy that everything... No, God's not like that. That was some foolishness. But people think about God that way. They think about this old man. This old man that's sitting in heaven. He's an old, old guy with a long gray beard, and he can hardly move, and he just barely has time. But that's not our God. Our God's alive. He is the very life force that's on the inside of us. He is the creator of the universe. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us. His arm's not shortened that He can save. No, our God's a mighty God, and we can't bother Him. You can't bother God. You don't ever bother God. He loves for you to come to Him in faith. And all your ways acknowledge Him. That means listen and act. Raise your hand. Raise my hand. There you go. You listened and you acted. You say, well, it didn't make any sense to me, so I didn't do it. I'm going to tell you that you're in trouble with God if you say, I'm never going to do it unless it makes sense to me. Right? Because sometimes the things He tells us to do don't make sense. At least not on the front end. On the back end they will. Praise God. Amen. So unbelief keeps us from acting. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, speaking of the children of Israel, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Not being mixed with trust in them that heard it. So you can hear something, maybe even recognize it as the voice of God, but if you don't put your faith with it and do what He said, Moses, see the Egyptian army behind you? Yeah. What am I supposed to do, Lord? Don't be afraid. Just take your staff and hold it out over the water. Made a lot of sense, didn't it? I need a lot more timber than this, Lord. But doing it supplied what? A way across. There was a hindrance there, but it supplied a way across, didn't it? Amen. So Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. To not believe God is taking a step back from Him. Do you believe that? When we don't believe Him, when we don't believe what He says, we're stepping back. Don't do it. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. That's the number one way, not believing. We have a hindrance, but you can overcome it, can't you? How do you overcome unbelief? That's right. You choose to believe, don't you? You choose. You repent. You change. You believe. You say, but believing is not easy. Well, faith comes by hearing. So your part of it's pretty easy, really. If you'll just listen and listen and listen and listen, you'll start to believe, and you can begin to act then on what he says. Number two hindrance: an underdeveloped spirit. Many people don't realize that they leave their spirit in a coma. And I'm talking about believers. Their spirit never acts, never does anything. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body." What did I just say? Spirit, soul, and body. I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know your three parts? Your three parts. You're made in the likeness and image of God. Your three parts. God's a spirit. Your three parts. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, "I am a spirit." You're a spirit. God's a spirit, and you're a spirit. You're a spirit. But you have a soul. What is your soul? Your what? Yeah, your mind, your will, your emotions are your soul. And you live in a body. You live in a body. You couldn't communicate with other people in bodies unless you had a body. That's why God gave us bodies, so we could communicate with one another. But to communicate with God, He's a spirit, we must have a spirit, right? And we are a spirit. That's the essence of us. And we spend, well, most everybody spends at least 13 years. I was deprived of kindergarten, and then I skipped a grade, so I only got 11 years, so you'll have to forgive me if I'm undereducated. Then we go on to college, and we train what? Our spirit? Every university is spirit training, right?
No.
No. Soul training. We train our soul. And by the way, while the academics train parts of our soul, there's other parts of university life that train other parts of our soul. And there's all kinds of philosophies going around that train other parts of our soul. You see, I went to college back in the early 60s, before there were hippies. But I want to tell you that I know where hippies came from. Because I was there when they were born. They came out of university campuses and out of strange professors. They used to be called beatniks. People with strange ideas about God. We train our soul, but our spirit is all shriveled up. Even born-again spirit, where Jesus Christ comes and lives in your spirit, it's all shriveled because you don't develop it. You don't develop it. And Romans 8:14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." The 16th verse says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God." That's the only way you can know you're saved. It's His Spirit bearing witness in the spirit man. But you know, it needs to go deeper than that. That spirit man needs to be developed by the Word of God. He needs to be trained up by the Word of God. We need to develop our spirits to hear. Don't we? We need to develop. And that can only be done just by giving time to it, giving attention to it. And you do it by reading the Word of God. You do it by meditating the Word of God. You do it by obeying Torah, the Word of God. That's how we train and develop our spirits. We do it by prayer. We do it in worship, which is part of prayer. We do it by intimacy with God. praying in the Spirit, and listening. Just listening. You remember that old television ad about E.F. Hutton? You remember the E.F. Hutton ad? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. You ought to be that way with God all the time. Lord, you ought to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Your word says I hear your voice. I want to hear clearly. I want to hear. So I'm setting myself in agreement with you right now that I'm going to quit listening just with natural ears to things, but I'm going to let the inner part of me, the part of me where you dwell, hear and hearken to your voice. Develop your spirit. You can do it. That's an obstacle, but it's not insurmountable. You can push by, can't you, Justin? You can develop your spirit in the Word. Number three, and this is a big one. Number three, why would people not hear? What's another hindrance? Unforgiveness. 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 If there's any open doors in our life to Satan, unforgiveness. I know of Christian people that tell me, well, I just can never forgive them. I just can't. Well, how could you even say that? The Word of God is so explicit about unforgiveness. If you won't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. Oh, but I believe in Jesus. I'm sorry, folks. You can't take the part of the Word you want to take. You've got to take it all. He says, if you won't forgive, neither shall you be forgiven. Well, but you don't know what they did to me. But God does. And He said, forgive them. But you don't know how hard it is. Or then they'll say something like this. Well, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget. You all know about Matthew 18. It was a man that owed his master. And you know, as economics change, the amount changes, you know. But when I was first studying this, the talents of gold that he owed so many talents, that amounted to about $17 million. He owed $17 million to this master. And the Bible says he couldn't pay, and his master said, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take all that you have. I'm going to have to take you and throw you into debtor's prison, and I'm going to take all your children away from you and let them work for me because you can't pay. But the guy cried out and said, oh Lord, have mercy upon me. I want to repay all. Have mercy on me. And the Bible says that the master of this man had mercy on him and forgave him all of his debt. That afternoon he went out and he was feeling pretty good. He was a lot lighter. And he happened to see Dan over there. And he said, that Dan, he's part of my problem. He owes me $17 and he never paid it back. And the Bible says he went over to Dan. Dan's not close enough, so I'll grab you by the throat. No. He grabbed him by the throat. And that's a fatal hold, or could be, potentially fatal. He grabbed him by the larynx and said, pay me all you owe. And the man said, I'm sorry, but I don't have $17. We just don't have anything right now. I can't pay you. And the guy said, too bad for you, fella. And he called the officers and he sent the man off to debtor's prison for $17. Well, we're going to start now at 1832 in Matthew chapter 18, verse 32. The master that had forgiven the man all this debt heard about what he did. And in verse 32 it said, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Say tormentors. And that's a type of something. That's a type of something. He delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. And he tells why he did it. In verse 35, he said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. How many of you know that there are demon spirits still at work in the earth today? Evil spirits? I said that unforgiveness is an open door to the devil. I believe it with all my heart. I believe many people who are having all kinds of physical ailments and mental problems are under the control of evil spirits. And some of them, and I don't mean to be a judge of any, but some of them, because of what the Word says, I know it's because of unforgiveness. They open the door to tormentors. What would that be a type of? But evil spirits. Evil spirits. Those are the kinds of things that give you no rest. They torment. They give you no sleep. They torment. And many times it's because you just can't turn loose of something that someone did to you. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, now that's the Word of God, people. How can you expect to be prosperous unless you obey that simple part of God's Word? You say it's not simple. Yes, it is. You make a choice. Your Word says it, I'll do it. You know, people used to say, the Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I disagree with that. The Word says it, that settles it. And I better believe it. Amen? If I want to get in line with good, I better believe what the Word says. Mark 4:15 talks about some people. You remember Jesus told us a parable about sowers and the seed. I'm just about done here. About the sowers and the seed. And he said that some of the seed fell out on packed ground. What happened to it? What? Actually, birds got this part. The birds got it. The fowls of the air came and picked it up. They gathered it up. And after a while, why, he told all about the other places it fell, but in the 15th verse, he's explaining to his disciples what this means. He says, These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Man, I tell you people, you don't want the devil stealing your word. That's a problem. I mean, obviously it's a problem, or Jesus would not have made it clear that the enemy can come and steal word out of our heart if we're hard-hearted, if we're unforgiving. Now, I know this applies to the unsaved also. Please don't think that I don't know that. But whatever applies to the unsaved will apply to us if we draw back from the things of God. Hard-heartedness. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. I want to tell you that unforgiveness is a way to do it. Now that's a terrible obstacle, a terrible hindrance to hearing God. Can you do anything about it? What can I do about unforgiveness, people? Forgive! I can believe for unbelief, right? I can develop my spirit when it's underdeveloped. And I can forgive. I can forgive. Say, I just don't know if I can. I'm telling you, you can. Let me give you a step for forgiveness. Say it. Say, I forgive whoever it is for whatever I forgive them. Now, what's the next step? Well, it really is even stronger than forget. Forget's something I do when I don't mean to a lot of times, but I know what you're saying. But it really is a choosing not to remember anymore. So that means from then on, when that thing starts to bubble up again and you think, oh, they did that. Nope. I'll not remember that. I'm putting that out of my mind. It'll have no place in me. I won't believe it. I won't allow it. I will not give place to the devil. Amen? Number four, a calloused conscience. A calloused conscience. What is your conscience? Is it Jiminy Cricket sitting on your shoulder? Some of you remember the old Disney thing where Jiminy Cricket sat on the guy's shoulder and he was like his conscience. He'd talk to him. Tell him, you don't want to do that. No, don't do that. What is your conscience?
Fear of the Lord.
That's right. That's right. See, this is what people don't realize about a conscience part of us. Our bodies communicate through feeling, don't they? I mean, if you touch something hot, your body says, wow, hot, right? That's hot. Your soul communicates through thoughts and ideas, reasoning. But our spirit is communicated with through conscience. Through our conscience. That's why sometimes when someone, like when Henrietta was telling me to move the car, some people will say, well, I don't know why, but it's kind of a hunch. I don't know why. There's no reasoning for it. There's no way I can put together reasons for doing this, but I kind of have a hunch. But it's really deeper than a hunch. It's a spiritual hunch. It's something that comes from the Spirit of the Lord to our spirit. And Paul talked about it in Romans 9:1. He said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. His conscience bore... Well, how could his conscience bear witness? Well, that's because the Spirit of God's in there telling him, yes, you're right about this. This is correct. He's confirming it. Right? It's through the conscience. In Romans 1:28, he talks about the other side of this. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, what's happening there? If they won't allow the Spirit to work in them, then what happens? Then all they have is the mental part, the mind part. And you know what happens to that mind part? It becomes reprobate. And the Bible says today is the day that we're living in where men call good evil and evil good. We are taught about tolerance. Be tolerant of everyone. Have you noticed the one thing that people are not tolerant of? What? Christians, believers. If you're an evangelical, don't look for tolerance from anyone. They won't tolerate you. And especially if you speak out what the Word of God says, you're not politically correct and you're in trouble. Reprobate mind. Men calling evil good and good evil. And the Bible says when he turned them over to a reprobate mind, they did those things which are not convenient. Here's how it progresses. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It becomes completely crusted over. Till pretty soon they can't hear anymore. So how do we overcome this? A calloused conscience. What do you do when you get calluses on your hands? You don't have any anymore, huh? I know you've had a lot of calluses. You used to play the guitar. If you wanted to get rid of them, you wouldn't want to get rid of those calluses if you play guitar, right? Need those. But if you wanted to get rid of calluses, how do you soften them? What? What do you do? I mean, you could just take a knife and trim them off, which is very haphazard. But what else can you do to calluses? Nobody knows. You all just keep your calluses, huh? Oil! Oil works. Something of an oily nature will soften that callus until eventually you can begin to remove the callus. The Holy Spirit is a oil of the Scripture, isn't he? God's oil. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is rebellion? Shannon, do you ever have a child rebel against you? Never. Perfect children. Any of you ever have a rebellious child? Does any of you ever have any rebellion show up in a child? We'd all be liars if we said we hadn't seen rebellion in our children. Rebellion's in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Oh, but Pastor, that's just talking figuratively. Well, that's the problem. That's the reason your faith is only figurative too. Because you don't believe what the Word of God says. You've listened to somebody else instead of God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This is Samuel speaking to Saul. But how many know it's true? To rebel is like witchcraft to God. What do you do to witches in the Scripture? What was the punishment for a witch in Scripture? Can't hear you. What? Death. Sentence of death. Thou shalt stone a witch, right? Put a witch to death. What are you going to do with rebellion in your life? I hear people say, well, I'll just tell you right now, I'm kind of rebellious. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not an honorable thing. That's something you need to deal with. It's like the sin of witchcraft. Well, I've always been kind of stubborn. I'm like a mule. That's like iniquity and idolatry. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Change it. How do you treat it? Harshly. Put it to death. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm going to tell you today, you need to strive to develop and maintain a sensitive conscience. You need to repent quickly. When you hear God say, no, that's not the way, say, I'm sorry, Lord, I won't go there. You start to speak something about somebody and say, don't say that. Stop right then. Don't go on. Somebody starts to speak something to you about someone else. Say, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that. I love you. And I know you don't mean to cause harm, but it's harmful to speak evil of someone else. So I don't want to hear it. Deal with it quickly. Repent. Be harsh. Put it to death in your own life. Don't allow it to go on. The last thing is maybe the most devastating because it's the most subtle. It's called neglect. We don't hear because we neglect to hear. Because we neglect the things of God. Because there's so many other things. Jesus was also teaching about those that fell among the thorns when he talked about the sower and the seed. You remember that? He said, and some of it fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, so it became unfruitful. There was no fruit. And here he explains it. He says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. Anybody have any cares? Well, I got a place to put all your cares. It's right here today. It says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I got to make money, I'm sorry. I don't have time today for the things of God. I've got to make money. You know, we've got to make a living. You ever hear people say that? I've got to make a living. I was cursed with Adam, and I've got to earn by the sweat of my brow, and I've got to make a living. But you know what? Jesus redeemed us from the curse, and in him we live and move and have our being. The lust of other things. Oh, there's a lot of other things calling, aren't there? Man, do you ever listen to the call of the wild? So many things we could be doing. Says those things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That's why Paul told Timothy in the New American Standard Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God as a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. We need to be diligent, people. That's the way you overcome neglect. Start being diligent. Start acting diligently. Start putting first things first. Seek ye what? Seek ye what? What? The kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house one day and He sat down and began to teach them. He taught and He taught and He taught. He's something like Pastor Terry, maybe worse. Taught and taught and taught and taught, and it got to be about 10 minutes to 12. And Martha said, "Food! We got to get the food ready." And Martha jumped up and she began to get busy. She got real busy. Cooking food. Cleaning the house. Setting the table. Finally, she just couldn't stand it any longer and she went to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, don't you care that I have to do all of this by myself?" What'd Jesus say? "Poor Martha, come here and let me give you a little hug. You need your love cup filled." Did He say that? He said, "Martha, Martha, Martha, thou art careful." Luke 10:41, by the way. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing." Say one thing. How many things? One thing is needed. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Don't neglect the Word of God telling me that you can't make place for the good things when Jesus said there's just one thing that's needed. Just one thing. Do you believe Jesus was against housework? You think He was against cooking? What was He saying? There's time for all of that. There's time for all of that. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. Word of God's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you're standing here today, as you've sat in this place today, you've heard. Now what you do with what you've heard is up to you. But I believe that you're going to be obedient with the Word of God and act upon it. I believe that you're going to become keen hearers of our Heavenly Father. Father, this day, we thank You that You speak to us. We thank You that we hear You. We are Your sheep. We hear You. You know us and we follow You. We believe that. We believe that. It's been stirred up in us today. That's what the Word of God can do. It can stir. It can wash out the old things. And Lord, it can make everything new. It can soften the calluses by Your Spirit working through Your Word today. We thank You for that. We thank You that we're going to be hearers of the Word as well as doers. That we're going to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd clearly. No more trial and error for us. We're going to hear, and we're going to hear clearly. We thank You, Father, and we praise You. Is there anyone here today that's never made Jesus the Lord of your life? So what I'm talking about today just sounds like some kind of a foreign language to you. Is everybody here born again? If there's anyone here today that's not born again, let me tell you how easy it is. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Yahweh God, Lord of Lords, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. I didn't say it. That's what the Bible says. Is there anybody here that needs to do that today? A simple confession with your mouth, accompanied by faith and belief in your heart. Anybody? Everybody here born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord today. Just put your hands up in the air. I know it seems strange to some, but put your hands up. I'm going to say words over you in Hebrew. Then I'm going to say words over you in English. But God said, when you speak these words over my people, I'll put my name on them. I'll put my name on them. God's painted a target on you right now, and it's about time for you to have that name that's above every name engraved on your heart. Ivareka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yair Adonai Panavaleka Vekaneka. Yise Adonai Panavaleka Vyasem Lacha Shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh, make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh, lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you peace. Shalom. In the name of Yeshua. And everyone that received it said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.